Hey, where are you going, Jim? The elevator's over here.
Taking the stairs.
But our meeting's up on 8.
Yeah, I know.
But that's 8 floors up. That's like 8 times... 8, I don't... A lot of stairs.
That's the point. I've already lost a few pounds and earned almost $100 in wellness incentives.
Whoa, you're getting rewarded for working out?
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are, Bob.
Fearless is full of surprises. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits and sign up at fepblue.org/chooseblue by December 11th.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, welcome to the Locked On Eagles podcast. I'm Teron Davenport, and we are here to bring you another edition. It is Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Hope everybody is getting everything ready for their holiday coming up and ready to get that grub on, because I know I am. And what we're going to do, just kind of look back on some more things from the Eagles versus Seahawks, look at the NFL power rankings as well that came out from USA Today. So just kicking things off, I tell you what, one of the things that I saw in that game against the Seahawks was the emergence of Wendell Smallwood. And this is a guy that I have really been, you know, an advocate of. I appreciate his running style. He does remind me of Wendell Smallwood, and I would like to see him get more carries, especially with Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles going down. We haven't really got much as far as their status. Matthews has the knee and Sproles has the rib. Sproles is expected to play. You know, the rib's not displaced, but Matthews, we'll see what happens. And these injuries just continue to creep up for Ryan Matthews. And it's unfortunate, because over the last couple weeks, he was really running behind his pads, and he was getting back to the running back that a lot of us expected him to be in this offense. I mean, at one point, I felt that with a full season, you know, being healthy, and he would be a 1,000-yard back. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen this year, but nevertheless, Matthews has shown flashes. Darren Sproles, we know what he brings to the table. But that leaves us with Wendell Smallwood. And Smallwood, I really like his running style. And if you watch that Seattle game, you'll see him kind of run downhill on a couple plays. There were some times where, you know, they had the ball inside the 10-yard line, their own 10-yard line, and Smallwood just punched it up the middle and broke a couple tackles. He had an 18-yard run. That was a really good run. He broke a couple tackles, and, you know, he got tackled by, I think it was Earl Thomas that got him, but it was 18 yards, and it was a key run at that point. You know, he averaged 3.7 yards per carry. He had 13 attempts for 48 yards. Now, that's nothing to write home about, but I think that's pretty good in the limited time against that Seahawks defense, who, you know, let's face it, this is a defense that is known for stopping the run. Anytime you look at, you know, you got Tony McDaniel up front, you got Jaron Reed out of Alabama, you know, Clifford Vril, and then the linebackers, as we talked about, K.J. Wright, Bobby Wagner. You got Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor coming up and making plays against the run. That defense is definitely equipped to do a lot to stop the run. But Smallwood had a decent game. Ryan Matthews, though, getting back to him, he had 7 carries, 31 yards. Kenjon Bonner continues to be their guy that kind of gets them the big plays. He had 3 carries for 17 yards. He's averaging 5.7 yards per carry. Now, when I say the big plays, I'm talking about chunks. He's someone that is leading. He's leading the Eagles with over 5 yards per carry. So that's nothing to shake your head at. Bonner is another one, and they could get on those outside runs. But like I said, I think it's really time to get Smallwood implemented into that offense. You got to not focus around him, but give him the opportunity to be the back that he's capable of being. Finally got to see him catch the ball out of the backfield as well. He was targeted 5 times, caught 4 of them for 31 yards, 7.8 yards per catch, and he had an 18-yard reception as well. So Smallwood put together a decent game, you know, looking at about 79 total yards from scrimmage, and he remains one of their top kickoff returners as well. So I think Wendell Smallwood was a really good pick coming out of West Virginia. When they made the selection, I was big on it after talking to my guy Brandon Howard, a West Virginia alum, and you know, I went back and watched him, and I felt that he reminded me of Brian Westbrook. It's just no wasted movement. He gets upfield, and he has some wiggle to him also. You know, he'll make you miss an open field, and I say it time and time again, he showed me a jump cut during a training camp that really was outstanding. He made Deontay Skinner miss, and you know, they weren't even in pads, but and they weren't able to hit, but he shook Skinner out of his shoes. So Smallwood is a guy that has a full package. You know, he's a very good receiver out of the backfield. He could line up in the slot if you want him to. So I think going forward, he should be the guy at running back, and they need to just give him more and more carries. And he showed that in the Steelers game. He had 17 carries, over 70 yards. And you just saw him just kind of, as he got into the flow of the game, you saw him get stronger and stronger. And that's what you want out of a running back. So Wendell Smallwood, I think it's your turn to step up. Let's see what happens. But in addition to that, we got to look at the receiver position. And we talked yesterday about Nelson Aguilar and his mental struggles that he's going through and how it's a confidence thing. And he just has to work through it. Jordan Matthews and the guys, they're trying to pull him through it. You know, we'll see what happens. Doug Peterson had his comments, whereas we may see Nelson Aguilar have to take a step back. We'll see if they limit his reps or even deactivate him. Who knows what's going to happen with him on Monday Night Football? Fortunately for the Eagles, they have an extended amount of time to make the decision, because obviously they're on Monday night instead of Sunday, so they give him an extra day. We'll see how the schedule is. We haven't gotten the media schedule or the Eagles schedule for this week, so we'll see how this week rolls out as far as what they do on Thanksgiving. But Aguilar may not be a part of the scheme, the offense, this coming week. However, Peterson did say that they're still going to include him in the reps. I mean, that goes without saying. And he's still going to work with the ones. They did activate or sign Paul Turner to the 53-man roster. So Turner will get his opportunity if he's activated. The Eagles, as you know, they typically carry four active receivers on game day. If they carry five, maybe it'll be Turner. If they carry five, maybe, or it won't be, or excuse me, if they carry four, maybe it won't be Aguilar. So we'll see what happens there. I'm really looking forward to how they're going to allow this to play out. Now, obviously, Aguilar, he was targeted three times. He had zero catches, except for that 2-point conversion, which again was something that they could build on. He was able to make the catch despite Richard Sherman flashing in the screen at the last minute, and he held on to it for the 2-point conversion. Carson went to him. Obviously, that's where his read took him, but Wentz still went to him, and that says a lot because, again, Wentz has also said that he's not going to give up on Aguilar, and he hasn't lost confidence just like the rest of the team. So we'll see what happens. Paul Turner, as you guys know, was obviously one of the most consistent receivers the Eagles had during training camp in the preseason. His 17 receptions, I believe, was among the lead leaders, if not leading the NFL in the preseason. He's a guy that could work the slot. He could work outside. I think he's more of a slot guy. So it'll be I'm looking forward just to see how they're going to work him in that rotation if they play him. And obviously Bryce Treggs is the guy they're still trying to get in sync with, get the ball downfield to. They can't get on the same page. That's Wentz and Treggs. And even when they completed that long reception, it was underthrown. So that's something they'll have to continue to work with. Treggs has been a big supporter of Carson Wentz. He said he throws the deep ball better than anyone he's ever played with. By the way, he played college ball with Jared Goff, so that is saying a lot. But when you look at Treggs, you know, he's a guy that could work on the outside. He has the speed. He could work those routes, getting back to the quarterback, you know, because defenders will play off of him. So we'll see how they're going to use Treggs. But in addition to that, Green Beckham, he's another guy that has to step up. They were able to get him going a bit at the end. Towards the end of the game, he was able to make some catches on some in-breaking routes, which has become his specialty. He knows how to use his big body in that manner in order to get inside the defender and make those plays across the middle. He had a touchdown as well, so that was something to hang your hat on. Jordan Matthews continues to be Jordan Matthews. You know, he's a guy that Wentz will always target. But it was a down day for him. He was targeted 10 times and only caught 5 of those targets, 59 yards. So that's something that they'll have to work on. Obviously, going against the Legion of Boom, as the Seattle secondary is referred to as, it's not the easiest task. However, coming up, they will have a better opportunity going against the 28th-ranked Packers secondary. So we'll see how that one works out. Defensively, I want to say this. While I've been big on Jalen Mills, I was disappointed in his performance against the Seahawks, specifically on two plays against the run. There were two times where C.J. ProSize got him. His first run was about a 4-yarder or so, but then the long run, he was able to, you know, make a miss in the open field, and Mills just has to break down and not fall for that fake, that juke. And that resulted in a big – man, that set the tone. You know, it resulted in their first touchdown. It was a 72-yarder, and you just cannot allow those runs to happen. You can't. And Mills has to – put that game behind him. He's going against, you know, Jordy Nelson, you know, Randall Cobb. These are some good receivers. Good receivers. And even Ty Montgomery's a solid guy as well. So these are good receivers in Green Bay. He has to put that behind him. But when you look at what Doug Baldwin, specifically Tyler Lockett, were able to do against him as far as catching those curls, those comebacks, you know, it would be a third and long, and they would run a route to the sticks, and Mills allowed them to catch the football, and you cannot have that. Once again, that he's going to have to plaster himself to the receivers, because this is another guy this week that can make things happen, really good at improvising. So it's going to be another week, another test for the rookie. He has to step up. Last week, I don't think was his best outing, and he admitted that. We talked a little bit afterwards, and there was a play also where they were in deep quarters coverage, and Baldwin was able to get by him and make a big catch, and that set up a field goal. So he knows what he has to do. That following play, Tyler Lockett was able to get them even closer, you know, to the goal line, but they, again, had to settle for a field goal. But I want to see that matchup, you know, Mills against Nelson and those guys. That's going to be something else to watch. Another thing that stood out to me defensively was the limited reps that Vinnie Curry got. You know, he only played, I believe, in 39% of the reps, 26 reps overall. And this is a guy that signed a big deal before the season. He was projected at one point to be the starter at defensive end. Obviously, Barwin and BG, Brandon Graham, are now in that position. But they were using him in a NASCAR package as well, whereas they had Curry, Cox, Brandon Graham, and Connor Barwin along the defensive line. Curry and Cox were obviously at tackle. And he still only got 26 reps. So that's something to keep your eye on. Let's see how that continues to unfold. I know Jim Schwartz has said in the past that he wanted to get him reps. So let's see how that works. Let's see what happens there. I'm curious how that's going to work out. I know they use a rotation. We have four defensive tackles and you have four defensive ends, because they also use Marcus Smith. And at times, Steven Means, when he's active, they use him. So we'll see what happens there. That's just something that kind of stood out to me. And just to wrap things up, we'll look at the USA Today power rankings, and the Eagles are the bottom ranked team in the NFC East. You have the Cowboys leading things off at number one. You got the Redskins at number nine, the Giants at number 10, and then the Eagles at number 15. They tumbled four spots after their loss to the Seahawks, and the Seahawks are number two to the Dallas Cowboys. We'll see how that pans out. But, you know, this Eagles team is definitely still in the mix as far as the playoffs are concerned. There is an opportunity for them to make it. You look at what they have right now going against the Vikings. The Vikings and the Lions play, by the way. So if the Eagles could beat the Packers and whoever wins that game, you would probably want to see the Vikings win that game, because that would make the Lions, Vikings, and Eagles with the same record. And what would end up happening, the Eagles would have the tiebreaker against the Vikings because of head-to-head. Obviously, they lost to the Lions. So the better the Vikings do, as well as the Eagles, the better for the Eagles, because you don't want to see the Lions in the mix because they have the tiebreaker right now. I know it's like a who's on first kind of situation, but, you know, this playoff stretch, you have plenty of football left, and there's no time to throw in the towel. This Eagles team is still in contention. Three games against NFC East opponents at home. You got four of the final six games at home. First one coming up on Monday. And if you haven't gotten your seats yet, make sure you download the SeatGeek app. You'll be able to, you know, get your tickets that way. we'll see what happens. You know, we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the show. I'm Teron Davenport. I appreciate you tuning in. Be sure to follow on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL, as well as the EaglesWire.USA Today. Subscribe to this podcast, your only daily hard-hitting podcast, Philadelphia Eagles, Locked On Eagles on Audio Boom and iTunes. We'll be back tomorrow.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.